Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Pei Ches. We will begin on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, the fourth line. The Gemara, we had learned a Braisa, where the Braisa taught that the Pasuk teaches us that every word of that Pasuk has relevance to Zakei Mamre, to what type of a subject did the Zakei Mamre make his statement. And in learning that Braisa, we also learned the Machloikus Tanoim, under what type of a subject can one become a Zakei Mamre? And Ramey's opinion was that a Zakei Mamre could only become a Zakei Mamre when it was something which is Chayiv Koros when somebody does it b'mezid, and Chatas when he does this Aver b'shayig. And Rav Papa was instructed to identify with every type of issue mentioned in that pasuk how it could be a situation of Mezid Chorus and Shagi Chattis. So when the Pasuk says Devarai, and the Braisa said that Devarai refers to Erchin Charam and Bagdashis, if that's the subject, the question is how could that be a subject that is Chorus Chattis Erchin? Says the Gemara, it reflects the Machloikis, the Plukta Dramev Rabban, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Erchin teaches us, Hamarach Pachs Bem Chodesh. We know the definition of Erechin is that every individual has, based on their age and their gender, the Torah prescribes a specific Erech. If for a child that's less than a month old, the Torah does not prescribe an Erech. So the question is, if somebody says he's going to give the Erech of a child who's less than a month old, what will be the halacha? Remeim Menois and Damav. We give the value of that child. We can't give an Erech. We look at it, at what his value is. Because Rameya's opinion is that Ein Adam Motzi Dvar Vatola. People don't say things that have no meaning. So if he said he's giving the Erech of an individual, and that individual doesn't have an Erech, he must have meant he's giving his value. The Chama Imrim, Chama say, Le'em HaKlum, the statement is viewed as meaningless. And now we could have a situation how this could affect a situation of Eishes Ish. Somebody who collects the money from the person that said this Erech, and then this person went and used it to be Mekadosh Isha. According to a mayor, the money that was designated for this belongs to Hegdish, and therefore cannot be used for Kedushin. According to the Chachamim, that the statement is meaningless, so it's still his money. If it's still his money, it could be used for Hegdish. And that will be a question, is this woman an Eishes Ish? And it will have relevance if somebody has relations with that individual or not. And not Charamim, what's the case of Charamim where we could have this type of repercussion? Chiv Karis says, "Gemara, but Plukta Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Rabbanan. The Tanan Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Rabbanan Stam Charamim. If somebody said that he's designating something as a Charim, and he didn't say to what that means, it means the Bede Kabayis. As we know, there are two types of Charamim. There are Charmi Bede Kabayis, that the Charim goes to Bede Kabayis, and there's Charmi Kohanim, that if somebody designated something as a Charim, it goes to the Kohanim. And the question is, what type of when you say Charim?" Without identifying what you meant, what is the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Omer, Stam Charamim, Lebed Kabayis. Shnema, Kol Cherem, Kodesh Kedoshim, Lashem. The Chamarim, and the opinion of the Chamarim is Stam Charamim, Lekoyin. Shnema, the Pasuk says, V'hoyo, Asad, B'tzeisim, Yoyev, Kodesh, Lashem, Kesteya, Cherem, Lekoyin, Tia, Chuzosai. M. Cain, asked the Gemara if the Chum hold that the Cherem goes to the Kahanim, Matam Loimer, Kodesh Kedoshim Hul Hashem, what do we learn from that Pasuk? That to teach us, Shechala Kotcha Kotcha V'Akatcha Kalim. If somebody decided to bring a carbon as an oil or shlomim, and after he designated the animal which was going to be a carbon oil or shlomim, he said that this animal should be Cherem, he would have to give the value of that animal to the Kohen, but the animal itself will be brought on the Mizbeach. So now, how does this affect the situation of Karis? If somebody said on something that he owns, that it's Cherim, So according to Yehuda, who holds that belongs to Beit Kabayis, and then he went and used it for his own benefit. So now that's considered that he did Mila, using something which is Hegdish for his own purpose. And somebody uses something for Hegdish for his own purpose, it's considered Mila. He has to bring Asham Ilis. And if he's going to eat from that carbon, as we discussed previously in Ashurim, when he's Tameh, then the lach is his Chayiv Karis. Whereas according to the Chamim, who say that the Chayim belongs to the Kahanim, so even though it belongs to the Kahanim, but if somebody has benefit from something from that belongs to the Kahanim, that is not a situation of Me'ilah. And therefore, if he brought an Asham, that is not really a carbon Asham. And therefore, if somebody's going to eat that carbon, it will not be a situation where he's Chayiv Karis, because it's really not a carbon in the first place. So again, we have a situation where we know that if somebody eats a carbon when he's Tamei, he has to, it's a veir for which there's mezid karis and b'shagi chatas, and now we've identified how that won't be relevant. Hagdashis, the next thing was Hagdashis. What does that mean? We plucked it, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Rabbanan. The Tanya, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, afil tznur shel hagdash, even a small fork, something which is very insignificant. Tzricha asar b'nei adam l'ftaisai. We know that the halach is under certain circumstances when we come to redeem Hegdish, we have to take 10 people to assess its value. And we learned earlier in our Masechta, the opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you need 10, and the opinion of Rabbi Chama was that 3 people are sufficient. So now somebody redeemed this just with 3 people. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the redemption is not considered a valid redemption. And therefore, this item is still Hegdish. And if it's still Hegdish, if somebody went and used it for his own purpose, for his own benefit, he has to bring in Asham Me'ilis. And again, as we said a moment ago, if somebody's going to eat this carbon Asham when he's Tamei, he's Chayiv Karis. But according to Chachamim, since it was redeemed based on the assessment of 3 people, so it's no longer Hegdish. And therefore, somebody benefiting from it is not doing Me'ilah, and he doesn't bring a carbon. And if somebody did bring an Asham Me'ilis, it wouldn't be really a carbon Asham. And if he ate it, it wouldn't be a situation when he's Tameh, it wouldn't be the issue of eating a carbon when you Tameh, which carries a carbon Chatas. Another way of explaining, Tosfos explains in Masechta Temura, if somebody took this item that was assessed and redeemed based on the assessment just of 3 people, and he used it to be Mekadosh a woman. If we say that, if we follow the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov, it's still Hegdish. And if you use something which belongs to Hegdish to be Mekadosh an Isha, what you did is meaningless, because we know that to do a Kedushin, what you do the Kedushin with must belong to you. Whereas, according to the Rabbanon, it will be a valid Kedushin because the redemption was a valid redemption. We could continue learning in the Braisa. When the Torah used the word revise, Zashka Saita Varifas Agola, Vataharas Mitzaira. And here too, the Gemara identifies how each one of these subjects can have a chorus element to it. Hashka Saita says the Gemara plucked the Blazer of Yeshua. It's referring to the Machlokes of Elazar Yeshua, the Tanan. The Mishnah in Masechta Saita teaches us, HaMekana L'Ishtai, a person who accuses his wife that she is having an inappropriate relationship. So the halacha is, he has to give Hasra to his wife that she should not be left alone with that man. And if there are Edom that happened after she got that warning, that's when she has to drink the May Saita. And now we have a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, how many Edim do we need for the Kinui, which is the original warning, and the Stira that she was alone with this man. Rabbi Elazar Mekana Pishnayim. Rabbi Elazar says that the Kinui has to be done in front of 2 Edim. Vim, Mashka Pierechod. But Stira is, even if just one person saw the stira, that's considered a halachic stira. And Alpi Atzmai, even if just the husband himself who's saying that there was a stira, it's considered a halachically valid stira. Rabbi Shua Imer, Mekan Alpi Shnayim, you have to have two Edim for the Kinui, and Mashka Pishnayim, you have to have two Edim for the stira. So now, if a man warned his wife that she shouldn't have Kinui, and now we have Edim that there was stira, and she doesn't want to drink the Mayim Hamamorim. So the aloch is, as the Mishnah says there, Yoitza B'loi Ksuba. She has to leave her husband, and she's not entitled to Ksuba. If there are no Edim of the stira, or there's only one aid to the stira, according to Yeshua, she doesn't have to drink the mei soita. And if the marriage is terminated, she's entitled to the ksuba. Were she to sell that ksuba, and somebody takes that money and use it to be mekadosh and isha, she would be mekadoshes because it was a valid sale. But according to Belezer, since even there's just one aid, or the husband himself, the halacha is, if she doesn't want to drink, she's not entitled to the ksuba. And therefore, if somebody takes or sells the ksuba, that ksuba was taken illegitimately, and it's the money that cannot be used to be mekadosh and isha. The next was regarding arifas agola. What is that? Beplukta rebelez rabbanan. We know that halacha of egla rufa is if there's a corpse found, and we're not sure who was the one that killed that person. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Tzaita says, the question is, when we measure the corpse, and we try to find which is the closest city to that corpse. And the question is, Ma'ayin Hayim Maidedin, from which part of the body of the corpse did we measure? Rav Elazar Mitiburai, from the middle of his body, from his nose, the place where he's typically killed, which would be at the neck, where he was presumably decapitated or stabbed. And the Machlokes, the Gemara Masechta Sota explains, Rabbi Elazar holds that a person's life and death is determined by the heartbeat, where according to the heart, according to Beleza, it's determined, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's determined by the nose. Is he breathing? According to Beleza ben Yaakov, it's talking, we determine this by the neck. And now we have a very relevant Shaila, where this corpse was found right between two cities, and it depending from where on the corpse's body we're going to measure, it's going to be a difference which is the closest city. And now, if somebody takes the egla rufa and uses it to be mekadosh a woman, it's not a valid kedushin. But now the question is, if we measured from the wrong place, then it's not an egla rufa. And if it's not an egla rufa, the kedushin would be a good kedushin. And therefore, and she's an eshes ish. Otherwise, it's not a good kedushin, and she's not an eshes ish. And it would be relevant if somebody had relations with her as a chayiv karis. The next case we spoke about was Taharas Metzaira. What is that? That's regarding the Plukta of Shimon Rabbanan, the Machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta and the Goyim says that a person who's a Metzaira, when he Baruch Hashem becomes Tor, he has to bring to the Beis HaMikdash an Osham and a Loik Shemen. And the Kohen takes from the blood of the Osham and from the oil that he brought, and he put it on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right toe. What would be the halacha ein loy bayin yad if this person doesn't have a right thumb? Ein loy bayin regel. He doesn't have a right toe, or oizen yeminis, or he doesn't have a right ear. So the halacha is ein loy tara lamas. But says the Bar Tanura, that's only in a case where when the person became a Metzaira, he did have these parts to his body, and then he lost them. But if when he became a Metzaira, says the Bar Tanura, he already didn't have these parts to his body, everybody agrees, it's just enough to put it on that spot. Rabbi Elazar Omer, even if he had it and lost them, Nebuch, Nois Lama Kaima V'yotze, Shimon Omer, Nois Lama Smo V'yotze. So now, if the Kohen did this on a different place than what that Tana says is the place that it should be done. And then he went into the Beis HaMikdash. So if we hold that the Tahara was a proper Tahara, so it's fine. But if we hold that the Tahara wasn't the proper Tahara, so that means he's still Tameh. And somebody who enters the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tameh is Chayiv Karis. So we have a Machloikis that's relevant to Karis. Bisharecha, the Braisa said, refers to Zalekit Shechav Peya. And again, the question is, how does that relate to a Chayiv Karis? Says the Gemara, Leket, we speak about the Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Peya says, if while they were cutting two bundles drop, that's leket, and it belongs to the poor people, and the owner of the field may not pick them up for himself. Shloisha, if three fall down, ain't a leket, and the owner of the property can keep them. Similarly, shicha, where somebody forgot bundles. So the halacha is, shnei amorim, two bundles are considered shicha, shloisha ain't a shicha. Three bundles are not shicha. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. However, says the Mishnah, Vakulon, regarding all the situations that we just identified, Beshamayrim, Shloisha, if three were left as leket, or three were left as shicha, they belong to the Ani, and Arba, if there are four, that belongs to the Baal Bayis, to the owner. And now we can have the Machloikas, where Bezdin Paskind, like Beis Hillel, that they're not leket shicha, and the Zokim Mamri disagree in Paskin like Beis Shammai. So according to Beis Shammai, according to the Zokim Mamri, the Ani went and took this as leket, the three bundles, as leket or shicha. And now somebody went and was Mekadosh a woman. If we say it belongs to the Ani, and the Ani was Mekadosh a woman with this, it's a great Kedushin. However, if the Ani was Mekadosh an issue with this, and they don't belong to him, because according to Beis Hillel, they're not Lechot or Shecha, the Kedushin wouldn't be a good Kedushin. Another way of learning it is, what would be if the Baal Bayis took this back from the Ani? Would it be considered the Baal Bayis' property that it should not be, that it should be a good Kedushin or not? Peya, what is this? How could Peya be related to a Karis? It says the Gemara Plukta Rav Shmuel v'Rabbanan, that it's related to the Machlokes of Rav Shmuel v'Rabbanan. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah Peya Lafish Menakoma. The proper way of fulfilling the Mitzvah Peya is to cut from the standing grain the part that is in the corner, and that part, the part that's in the corner, should be left for Aniyim. Loif Rafish Menakoma. But if you didn't do so, Yafish Menoimrim. So give him from the bundles. Loifish Menoimrim. If you didn't give him from the bundles, Loifish Menoimrim. Yafish min akri. We should take it from when it's even further processed. Achloi mirchu, until the processing was done. Mirchu, if it was completely processed, maaser, first you have to take off maaser, and then give the ani the amount that he's entitled to as payah. Mishmul amru, af marvish min isa. Even if it's ready made into dough, you could take off payah. But according to the Rabbanan, once it was made into dough, so then it's completely changed from what it was originally. And the halacha is that the Baal Bayis, the owner who should have taken off the peya but didn't do it, it becomes his. It doesn't mean that he's absolved. He owes the aniyim that amount of money, but he doesn't have to take peya from this dough. If the ani went and took peya from this dough, so now we're going to have a very relevant machlokes. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that you could take off from the dough, so that belongs to the Ani. And if it belongs to the Ani could use it to be Mekadosh and Isha. According to the Rabbanon, it doesn't belong to the Ani. And if the Ani used it to be Mekadosh and Isha, it's going to be a Kedushin that was done with something that isn't his, and it's not a valid Kedushin. So what we've been able to accomplish in this long piece of Gemara is how Rapapa was able to show that every case that's mentioned in that pasuk, which is a subject through which an individual could become a Zaka Mamre, to help understand, according to the opinion of Rameya, what has to be Davish Zadani Karf Shigasa Chatas, we're able to so identify. We learned in the Mishnah, Shlosha Bati Dinim Hayasham, there were three Bati Dinim in Yerushalayim, and we learned that if the Zakin argued against the Bezdan HaGadol and the Lishkos HaGazus, that's when he becomes a Zakin Mamre. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, Hu Aymer Mepia Shmua. If the Zakin says, this is what I heard from my Rebbeim, the Hein Aymerim Mepinei Shnua, and the people of the Bezdan say, the reason they're saying what they're saying is because that's what they heard. Ein Anerig. Because a person is allowed to disagree based on what he heard from his Rebbeim. Hu Aymer Kachu Be'enai, if he says, this is my opinion, and they say, this is our opinion, again, Ein Anerig. Because they're entitled to disagree. Certainly, if he says, this is what I heard from my Rebbeim, and they say, this is what we think, the only time he becomes a Zakin Mamre, that the Zakin says, this is what I think, and they say, that we have a Kabbalah that you are wrong, then and only then is he considered Zakin Mamre, that he asked that if he goes against Bezdin, he's supposed to get killed. And says the Gemara, Raya, Teda, Shrei Hogos Kavi Men Mahalim. We find that the Mishnah Masechta Idyos teaches us that a Kavi Ben Mahalim regarding four subjects disagreed with the Sanhedrin. Yet he was not declared to be a Zakin Mamre because all of these subjects were subjects that he heard from his Rebbeim, and since they were subjects he heard from Rebbeim, we're learning now that that prevents you from becoming a Zakin Mamre. Interesting, the Mishnah Masechta Idyos says that as a Kavi ben Mahalul was about to be Nefter, he told his son that he should accept the Psak of Sanhedrin and not the Psak that he heard from his father, a Kavi ben Mahalul. And he explained, he that was disagreeing was because he heard that from his Rebbeim. So he has an obligation to follow what he heard. But his son, who never heard it directly from them, then the halacha is that he should follow what the Sanhedrin says. Rebbe Elazar disagrees. Rebbe Elazar, I'm a filu hu oimer mipi ha-shmua, even if the Zakin Mamre says that what he's saying based on what he heard from his Rebbeim. And they're saying the reason we're disagreeing is because that is our opinion. Still, Nerag, the Zakin Mamre is put to death with Chenek. Because what we're looking to avoid is Machloikis. Within timer. So if that's the case, back to Masechta Idyos, Menei Maloi Hargus Kavi Menahalul. So according to this, a Kavi Menahalul was a Zakin Mamre. Says the Gemara, because what happened there was, Neshaloi Hara Halacha L'maisa. He said, this is what I feel is the Halacha, but he didn't tell anybody to follow his opinion. If he didn't tell anybody to follow his opinion, then he's not considered Zakin Mamre. Says the Gemara, Tanan, and the Gemara backs up the opinion that we just learned of Rebbe Elazar. Because the Mishnah says, if he says kach derashti, v'kach darshu chaverei, kach lamadati, v'kach lamdu chaverei, my life isn't the way to understand the words of our Mishnah. The hu amar b'pi ha-shmua, that he said this is what I heard from my Rebbeim, v'hein oimrim, and their reaction is v'kach hu beinenu. This is our opinion. So it's the raya that you become a Zakin Mamre even that way. Says my lawyer, that's not the way necessarily to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, but rather when he says Hu Amikachu Be'enai, he says this is my opinion. The Heim Omrim, and they say Mepi Shmua. So in such a situation, he is certainly going to be a Zakin Mamre. Tashma says the Gemara, the Amar Rabbi Yosha, Shlosh Dvarim Sochli Ziri. I learned three things from Ziri that he learned them from the Anshe Yerushalayim. Baal Shemachal Kinuyev, we spoke a few minutes ago about a husband who told his wife that did Kinuy. He told his wife in front of Edom she's not allowed to be alone with a certain man. And we said if she is alone, whatever opinion, she becomes Usur, and that she has to drink to the Mayim Amorim. The halacha is, if he was Meichel on his Kinui, then the Kinui was Meichel. So according to Rashi, the husband could be Meichel as long as there was no Stira. But once there was Stira, there's too late to be Meichel. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos holds that a husband can be Meichel on this Kinui even after was Stira. The only time that he can no longer be Meichel is once they put the Megillah of the Saita into the water and the Shem Hashem was erased. At that time, you can't be Meichel. The next case, the next halacha he learned was regarding the Ben Sarah Meru, who we learned extensively about. Shrotza Ova V'ima Limchaloi. If his parents wanted to be Meichel him, the halacha is Meichel Meloi. They could be, the halacha teaches us that they have a right to be Meichel. The Rashi says that till he was brought to Beis Din. But once he was brought to Beis Din, they can't be Meichel. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam holds that even after he was brought to Beis Din, the halach is the parents still could be Meichel him. And the Mefarshim give explanation, why is this the halacha? Why is the halacha that even though he was declared a Ben Sarah Meirer, he could be Meichel? So one pshat that I saw is that the reason why the Shem Shmuel gives this pshat, he says that a person always has the ability to do tshuva. And tshuva, why is tshuva helpful by Klal Yisrael, but it's not helpful by the Akum? And the answer is because we are the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore, that connection that we have to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gives us the ability to do tshuva. Akum don't have that yichus. So when the parents are meichel the child, what are the parents accomplishing by being meichel the child? They're showing the power of tshuva. They're showing the power of tshuva. They're showing the power that we look at the previous generations. Once we speak about the power of the previous generations, then tshuva becomes a factor. And once tshuva becomes a factor, so then the parents, then this child is no longer considered a Ben Sarim Meir. The Sefer Panim Yafetz explains, when we speak about Ben Sarim Meir, there's a fundamental question. How could anybody ever become a Ben Sarim Meir? Why isn't that considered Asra Sofik? Just because he did these Averis, why is it Asra Sofik? Why, maybe the parents will be Meichel him. So one teretz that he gives is that it's not the parents who give the Asra. It's not the parents that give the Asra. It's the Edom who give the Asra. And then it's Asra Sofik. But if the parents give the Asra, so the fact that the parents gave the Asra, that's an indication that their parents will not be Meichel. And therefore, it's not considered as Asra Sofik. But continues the Gemara. Zaka Mamri Shirotza Beis Din L'Mechaloi. What about if we have a situation of a Zaka Mamri and the Beis Din wants to be Meichel him? The Halach is Meichel Loi. Says Rabbi Yoshia. However, Shabasi Etzel Chaveri Shabedorim. And when I came to my colleagues in the Dorim and I told them over these Halachas, Al Shnayim, on two of the halachas that I said regarding the husband and the wife, regarding the parents and the Ben Sarah Meirer, hoidali. However, regarding the halacha of Zaka Mamre, on that halacha, says the Gemara, loy hoidali. They didn't want to agree with me. And the reason is, kedei shlayir b'machlokes b'Yisrael. We don't want to have machlokes. And the Ben Sarah and the Zaka Mamre represents machlokes. So, if that's the case, even a case where Zokin says Mepia Shmua and the Beis Din says Kach Nir Beinenu, he should become a Zaka Mamre. That, and Rav Kahana says that you don't become a Zaka Mamre because we're learning now that the consideration of a Zaka Mamre is a whole different consideration. And that is that we don't want Machloikis. And therefore, even though the Zokar Mamre is saying Bepi Hashmua, and the Bezdin is only saying Bepi Kachner Beinenu, it doesn't make a difference. You can't go against Bezdin. And I saw that the Meshech Chacham explains, as we're going to learn, the Torah, when it speaks about the Zokar Mamre, says Be'arta Hara Be'Yisrael. He says that why does the Torah use these words by Zokar Mamre? Because the Torah HaKadosh knows that the problem of a Zokar Mamre, of bringing machloikis, is a terrible cancer. And just like the Alochi says, is Melech Shemochal Kvoidoi and Kvoidemochal, we can't allow the king to be Michael on his covet. The reason he says we can't allow to let the king to be Michael on covet, because if we're going to allow the king to be Michael on his covet, then it becomes a slippery slope and the entire nation is put into danger. Here too, once we allow machloikas to begin to spread in Klal Yisrael, it could be a very dangerous precedent and we have no right to be Michael. And that's why I saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the paradigm of softness, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the paradigm of the honor of a modest person, when it came to the parasha of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu took such a strong stand. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel the need to take such a strong stand? Because he knew if he's going to be Michael, then what's going to happen afterwards may be irreparable. Says the Gemara Tanya, it says the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yosi Metchila, lo hayu mabe machlokes b'Yisrael. Originally, there weren't so many machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Ela, if there was a question, Bezin Shashim Ve'echad, the Sanhedrin, that a Yoshim Belishkas Agazus, that sat in the Lishkas Gazus by the Beis HaMikdash, V'shnei Batidinim Shalas V'shloisha, and we had the two other Batidinim that we were discussing that sat, Echid Yoshua Pesach Harabayis, once said at the entrance of the Harabayis. Vechid Yoshua Pesach Hazara, once said at the entrance of Hazara. Vishar Batidinim Shalosh Mishloisha. And we had these Batidinim throughout Klal Yisrael, Yoshua Mechalas Yisrael. They sat throughout Eretz Yisrael. Hotzach Adav Elishol, if there was a question to be asked, Shalom Bezdin Shabirin. The first place you went to ask was to the Bezdin in your city. Im Shamu, a Bezdin heard the question and knew the answer, Amram Lahem. Vimlav, if they didn't know that, Baim Lezeh, Shesamach Lir, they go to the Bezdin, which is closest to their city. Im Shamru, if they know the answer, Amram Lahem. Vimlav, Baim Lezeh, Shal Pesach Abayis, then they travel to the Pesach Abayis. Im Shamru, if they know the answer, Amram Lahem. Vimlav, Baim Lezeh, Shal Pesach Azor, they went to the one that sat by the opening of the Azorah. Vayim, Mekach, the Rashtu, Mekach, the Arshu, Chaveri, and the person asked the question, says, this is the question. This is how I think the pasuk should be understood. This is how my colleagues think the pasuk should be understood. Kach lamanati v'kach lamdu chaveri. Im shamu, if they know the answer, amalehem. Mamlav elav elam boil lishkas agazes. If they don't know the answer, they ultimately go to the lishkas agazes. Shasham yoshvim. That's where the Sanhedrin sit. And they're in session. Mitamit shal shacha at tamit shal ben abayim. From the time the tamit shal shacha is brought to when the tamit shal ben abayim is brought. V'shabasis. And in Shabbos and Yontif, where there are no, where we don't have Dina Torah, as the Gemara Masech Debei teaches us in Daf Lamed Vav, we're concerned that if there's a Din Torah in Shabbos, they may come to write, which of course is also in Shabbos and Yontif. So they sat Yoshin Bechil, they sat in the place in, near the Azara, near the wall of the Azara, so it won't seem like they're sitting in session. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the rest of the Azara on Shabbos and Yontif was filled with many people, and therefore so they had to sit in the chil. Nishal shal b'fneim, the question was asked. Im shamu, if they knew the answer, amr lahem, they say the answer, they know them lav. Om d'l'minyan, they take a vote. Rabba matam timu, we follow majority. If most say that's tamei, then it's Tamei, Rabba Mataru Taru. But says the Braisa, Umashrabba Talmud Shem of a Hillel, but once there were more Talmud Shem of a Hillel, Shloi Shimshu called Tzorchan, they didn't learn properly, and that's why they didn't come to equal the same opinion. Rabba Machloikis Yisrael, they began Machloikis in Klal Yisrael, And that's why Vinasa Torah Kishtei Torahs, the Torah became like two Torahs. Says the Rambam. He says, what happened here was that the people, what is Shloshim Shukol Tzorcham? They didn't review and they didn't remember everything that they learned. And since they didn't review and remember everything they learned, that's when this discrepancies, the machlokes began. Misham, and says the Gemara from the Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishkas of Gazus, Kos v'shoch b'chol makomis, they would send their decision to all over. Shukomi shukhochem v'shval berach. Anybody who's a talmud chacham, and a shval berach means he's modest. V'datz abrius noite menu. He's a person that is able to get along with other individuals. Yedayim v'iroi. Should be a dying in a city. And they needed to have dayonim in every city. And then Misham, Malan Shaharabayas, and once this person graduated to be able to become even of a greater stature, so then they brought him to the Bezdin Harabayas. And when he was even greater, then the aloch is Misham, Malan Shabazara. So we see clearly from here that the Bezdin of the Azara was considered a more significant Bezdin than the Bezdin of the Harabayas. And then when he was even greater, he was graduated to be on the Lishkas Gazus in the Harabayas. The Magen Avraham says that the halacha is that when we have a chalitza, the day before of the chalitza, the Bezdin convenes and says that there's going to be a chalitza here tomorrow. And the question is, can we convene? There's no real din Torah, just convene. The Magen Avraham says that you can't do that on Shabbos based on what we just learned, there's no din Torah on Shabbos. Whereas the Shvus Yaakov disagrees. He says a din Torah, which involves arguments and a verdict, cannot be held on Shabbos. This can be held on Shabbos. I saw that the Rabbeinu Shri Ragoin explains, what does it mean, Mishurabba Talmidei Hill V'shamu Shloi Shem Shukol Tzarchen? What happened that, as we explained, they started to forget? So he explains what started happening in Klai Yisrael is that Klai Yisrael was suffering terribly from the Golus. And because Klai Yisrael was suffering so terribly from the Golus, they weren't able to concentrate so well on the learning. And once they weren't able to concentrate so well on the learning, that's when they started to forget. So, Chumatam continues the Gemara. They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Ezu ben Olam Haba. Who is the individual that's going to be ben Olam Haba? Anvason, somebody who's modest. B'shval Berach. He is considers him less significant than anyone else. Shaif off of a Shaif Nafer. He doesn't, even if he's wealthy, he doesn't flaunt it. Goris Baraisa Tira, he's constantly learning. He doesn't think that even though he does all these great things, that he's better than someone else. And Yov Rabbanan Beinayim, and Rabbanan looked at Rav Ula Bar Abba as an individual who had all of these wonderful qualities. And I saw that the Beis Yisrael explains how we to understand this Gemara. The way to understand this person is that even though he has all of these wonderful qualities, so he has what to brag about, but he still doesn't live that way. He still is modest. That is the person that is worthy to be considered a Ben Olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Chazal Li'iroi. So we learned regarding the Zakamir Mamre, if he didn't accept what the Beis Din Hagol says and he goes back home, the Shana, and he continues teaching the way he taught before, however, he didn't tell anybody, this is what you should do, then he's not considered Zakam Mamre. Only if he goes and he continues teaching people according to his original opinion, and he tells them to act according to his opinion, that's when he's considered Zakam Mamre. So says the word Tana Rabbanan, he's not considered Zakam Mamre, Achiyasa Kai Rosai, unless he acts according to his opinion, or he tells other people to act according to his opinion. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, we could understand when he tells other people to act according to his opinion. Mikara, before he asked Bezdin, and what to do. Labrik telahu. He's not chai misa for this psak. The hashta, now that he's paskening against the Bezdin HaGadol, bak telahu is chai misa. Ella also karosoi, if the issue is that he follows his own psak, why mikar nami bak telahu? Before he was that, if just acting on his psak, then why should he be chayiv? Why shouldn't he be chayiv? Mases Bezdin, because he went against what the Torah says. And if he went against what the Torah says, isn't he chayiv misa? So Gemara develops the question. If the question here is about a question which is about kashrus, which the mikara for violating such halacha, lapik talahu not chayiv misa, the hashta. But not because he's going against the Bezdin HaGadol. That's why he's back to Talahu. Elahecha, but ask the Gemara. If the Oyer B'chayv Mises Bezdin, if he acted incorrectly regarding an Aver which is Chayv Mises Bezdin, so Mikar Nami back to Talahu. As soon as he did it, let's say he did it regarding Chil Shabbos. So as soon as he was Mechal Shabbos, he's Chayv Misa, asked the Gemara. Answers Gemara, Mikara by Asra. Originally, to be Chayv Misa, nobody could ever be Chayiv Misa, as we've been learning throughout a Masechta, without Hasra. But a Zokim Mamre doesn't need Hasra. Hashtalad by Hasra. Asked him a Mesis, why would be an Halacha if he said something regarding telling people to worship Avodah Zarah, which is considered a Mesis? That the Halacha is that a Mesis is Chayiv Misa, even the Lay by Hasra, even if he didn't have Hasra. So what is the difference? If the subject that is discussed is a subject that will make him into a Mesis, as soon as he's a Mesis, he's Chayiv Misa. What changed when he became a Zokim Mamre? Mayak L'Memer, says the Gemara Mikara, originally, if he said something about being a Mesis, Yom Tama, if he explained why he said what he said, Mekablinamene, we will accept what he says and not put him to death. Hashta, but not a Bezdin told him that you are wrong. Yamatama, even if he tries to defend himself and gives an explanation for defending himself, Lamin Kabalina, we won't listen to what he has to say because Bezdin told him you are wrong. Why? So therefore the question is, why are you continuing to do what Bezdin told you not to do? Says the Mishnah, Chayma B'divrei Seifrim B'divrei Torah, when we speak about the Zokim Mamre, something which is a Derabbanan is more serious than a Deraisa. So Ha'omer ain't tefillin, today la'ava devar Torah. Somebody says that you don't have to put on tefillin to go against what it says in the Torah, Potter. Because what he said is a meaningless statement. The Torah says you have to put on tefillin, so saying something foolish like that is a meaningless statement. But he says, chamish tefis, l'hersva devar seifrim, the halacha is that the tefillin have four batim, and he comes and says that you should have five batim in your tefillin. So then what he did was going against what the Rabbanan said. And there the halacha is that he becomes for that a Zokim Mamre. Says the Gemara, Amr Belaza, Amr Baishya. Ein a chayiv, ela a dava shadikr b'divrei Torah. You only become a Zokim Mamre when you speak about a subject which is in the Torah, Pirush b'divrei Seifrim, and the Rabbanan explained it. V'yesh be'el ha'osif, and there's a way to make what you said different, more than what Chazal said. And therefore, Memhoisif, if you said that you have to fulfill the mitzvah and we're doing more than what Chazal said, that's when you become a Zokim Mamre. And says the Gemara, after all of these conditions are what's required, Ein lanu el tefillin, the only example we could come up of how somebody becomes a Zokim Mamre, if he says that there are five tefillin. So says the Gemara, we've been discussing from our previous year already, what is the way, what type of Aveira makes a person into Zokim Mamre. So it says, Aliv to Yehuda, according to Yehuda, that somebody doesn't become a Zokim Mamre when he speaks about something which is Ikra Medevri Torah or Pirushai Medevri Seifrim, it's understandable. But here, the mitzvah tefillin is Medaraisa, and the Pirushai of how many batim is Medevri Seifrim. Ask the Gemara, but why are you limiting it to tefillin? Vika lulav. What about the subject of lulav? Dikka medivri Torah. The chi of taking dalaminim, the chi of taking lulav is medaraisa. Upurushoi, which are the fruits and how many to take, different opinions on the Rishonim, on the Reciferim, the Yesh Be'el HaHaysev, that if you take, don't just take 4 minim, you take 5 minim. And therefore, from HaHaysev, you take more Gareya. Says the Gemara, let's think this through. Belulav, my Sfirulon. What is the case of the Lulav? Il Sfirulon, there's a question in Masech the Sukkah, if the 3 minim, the Lulav, Adas, and Aravis, have to be tied together or not. So says the Gemara, according to the opinion, the lulav ain't tzarech eged, you don't have to tie them together. So even if you take more minim that are required, as I said, other Rishonim explained, that you took more than the required number, still, each min is kept separately, and therefore, hay l'chudei kai v'hay l'chudei kai. Each one remains separate. So the fact that you took extra should be meaningless. These Sfirulon, if you are of the opinion that the minim have to be tied together, tzarech eged, guru of aymenhu, the moment that you put them all together, you already did it wrong. And in order to be considered hois of gareya, is where you had the right amount, and then you added to it. Ask the Gemara. So that's why lulav is not a good example. Ask them of ayikat tzitzis, but what about tzitzis? Dikra medivri taira, the chiva tzitzis medaraisa, pirusha, how many strings should you put on any corner? Is medivri seifrim. V'yesh bay lahaisif, if you put more than 4 strings, v'maisif gareya. Says the Gemara again, let's analyze what would be the situation. But tzitzis my sfirulon. Is sfirulon kesha elyon, if we're saying that the obligation to tie the tzitzis is lav deraisa, that even though that's what we do tie the tzitzis, but it's not what the halacha requires. So then, we're just like we said by the lulav. Each string, everybody stands, each string is still individual. So the fact that you took more strings is immaterial. These sfirulon, the keshen elyon deraisa, that the first knot, that's the way most Rishonim explain, that you make in the tzitzis, as a chiv deraisa, so it's not a case where you had enough and then you added. From the beginning, if you took more strings, more than the 4 strings that you're supposed to take, it's guru of oymid, and that's not considered a case of hoisif that you added. Answers the Gemara. So that's why he says tefillin cannot be considered such a situation. Ask the Gemara, if this is the approach that we're taking, ihocha tefillin nami, so what about the case? Iavid arbabati, if you made 4 batim on your tefillin, and then after you made the 4 batim, you add another bias. So still, why is that a problem? Each bias is individual. If you made 5 batim, so then it was no good from the beginning. That's guru of oymed. Answers the Gemara, Hamar Rav Zeira, bias chitz in she'en royis ave posel. What happened here is, it's not just that you have to have 4 batim on the tefillin. The halacha is that there's an order where the 4 batim have to be. And there's a halacha, which are the 2 parshis and 2 batim, which have to be the most outer batim. And now you went and put another bias there. So it's not just a situation where you added another bias, which is distinct from the other batim. What happened now is that bias prevents the bias that's supposed to she'en royis avir, that the bias which is supposed to be the last bias, the one that's exposed to the rest of the world, because it's on the outside, it's the most exterior one, will no longer be the most exterior one. So that's when you added, and by adding, you made the tefillin pasul, and that's why this is an example, a legitimate example of Moisif v'gareya. You added and you made it worse by doing so, and therefore this is the only example, says the Gemara, of where somebody can become a Zakamamri.